Okay, this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Filmmaking. My name's Brenda Daly, and I am with.
Robert Krauss.
And Robert, you are a writer, producer, director. You are heavily into the independent filmmaking with your wife and your daughter. And so tell me how you got started.
Well, for me, it was all about Sheila. Sheila got involved in acting, so I was kind of the dad that sat in the corner of the room and watched his daughter with pride as she acted in some films and stuff. And then the more I was around it, Donna was producing some shorts. So between Donna and Sheila, I just kind of became involved in the industry. And then I had always, because I'm a wedding minister, I had always taken notes about all these funny weddings that I had done in the past. So it kind of got me excited about writing. So I started writing Bliss Maybe.
And so as a kid, did you ever write anything?
No, well, no, not as far as movies or short films.
But books or stories or
I was always adept at writing. So like at work, when we have when people need they have grievances, they want I end up being the one that they always call to write, whether it's a grievance with the union or grievance with the hotel.
Okay. That's
So
different than creative writing. Well, you should be a little creative if you're having a
yeah.
grievance, if
Yeah.
they want you to do something.
But yes, it was different than creative writing. The biggest and that was the hardest thing for me to learn. With Bliss Maybe, I started writing and I started writing experiences, and it wasn't until like I was afraid to show the work, and then I showed it to Donna. And we started discussing how to make scenes better and make it a little bit more funny.
Right. She's very
Yes.
funny.
Oh, hilarious.
Oh my
The
God.
her whole fan the whole side of her family is. And that's kind of that's how it started. So I wrote Bliss Maybe, or we wrote Bliss Maybe, 20 some rewrites later.
Right. Sometimes you can rewrite yourself into a hole, though. Because sometimes you have to get to a point where it's like, okay, let's just go do this and then see where it goes. Because 27, that's a lot.
Yeah, but it was good for me because I learned it was a process for learning how to write, learning about how my mistakes that I made with plots, with the arcs, and so.
Yeah, I know. I've been writing. I was never a good student in school. I was too busy partying, honestly. And I think that I started writing when my daughter was doing stuff. Her and I were actually writing when she was probably younger than Sheila. I think Brenna was like 10, and I was teaching voice lessons. And so the kids would bring me their music, and then we would do Christmas shows. So we would write like this whole Christmas pageant around what the kids were singing. So that's kind of where I started, and I never wrote anything before that. So, and then I did Unintended for Brenna because she needed reel. No one did reel. No, that wasn't even a thing. But I thought I need to show something that hurt her age group, and so I came up with this story. And so that's I get the whole kid thing because you're kind of like you're involved. That's your life. Whether you're a baseball dad or a filmmaker dad, you're still a dad, and so you get very involved in, okay, well, I'll be the coach. I mean, who's going to show my kid but me, right? But it's funny how they've taught us.
Well, that's you say that it's the second script was the kids bullying movie, and we it was kind of came about because a teacher, well-intended teacher, decided to promote Sheila's movie in class, which then became a source of bullying for Sheila.
Oh,
So
yeah.
we were trying to figure out a way to kind of get her through that whole phase. So that's how we wrote A Chain Reaction. It was a lot of it was personal experience that Sheila went through.
I think everybody gets bullied. I don't really know what the answer to that is. I think the problem with bullying, and this is just a personal opinion, is the biggest problem is because everybody is so, these kids are so accessible to their phone, to the internet, that they don't get to go home and get away from it.
Right.
So then these kids come out and I don't know why they do it. Are they that unhappy with their own lives that they have to mess with yours? I don't really understand it, but the bullying never stops.
Well, we do touch upon a lot of that, a lot of the chat room bullying, all that in the movie. We also wanted to make it a comedy so that it could be,
Lighten it up a little bit.
yeah, so it could be te a teaching moment for the kids, but it could also be fun.
Right.
So,
I don't know how you made that funny, but now I can't wait to read it.
well, we threw a little bit of magic in there. We threw a little bit of, lessons learned.
Right.
One of the characters that comes to life, if you could picture Clay Trimble.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think with kids is it's super life is just tough now anyway, and I think that they say, oh, you should overcome your bullies. I don't know why they're there in the first place. I don't understand. And it seems like the person that seems the most put together and the most bullying person is the person that's the most insecure. You know what I mean? They're always the ones that are the biggest bullies, is they're the most insecure. They want to deflect whatever they're feeling bad about themselves onto somebody else so they can take on that.
That's one of the points in the movie. One of the biggest bullies in the movie is he has a miserable home life, and so he transfers that onto the kids at school. What how he's getting treated at home, he's
Right.
treating the kids at home.
Right. That's very good. Sounds like it's going to be a great film. Have you guys filmed it? I know she your wife had said to me earlier that you have guys had to stop because of COVID.
Everything kind of got stopped with COVID. Bliss was moving along really nice with a producer in Los Angeles, and I'm finding that writing, which is the fun part of it, is only one aspect of it.
Oh,
There's
yeah.
pitch decks and treatments
And then if you submit it and they
and
go, so here's this Hollywood. I'll be Hollywood.
okay.
Yes, we love your script, Robert. Yes, this is a great concept. Yes, it's very funny. We want it just the way it is. And then you get in the room and then they go, maybe that character shouldn't look this way. Maybe it should be a hot Jennifer Aniston or maybe, and it's like somebody completely different. I mean, they literally like, here you've come up with this great concept and then they nitpick it to death. And I think that's why us independent filmmakers, we kind of like, well, no, we want to cast it our way, which I don't, it's a great thing to do until you get to a certain level and then you gotta kind of let your baby go. It's kind of like letting your kid go. You kind of have to say, okay, I need to have money coming my way so that I can do all the other projects that come in the future. So I'm gonna go ahead and give this baby away, but maybe not that baby away.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way we feel about Bliss Maybe, because it's basically my life as a minister, and all the funny stuff that happened with our family, who a lot of them have been in the wedding industry. The other scripts that I've written, I'm not so attached to. So if somebody just, they want to do it.
Right. I'm doing one about a podcast called The Shit Show. No, seriously. And I'm in a team of writers. I'm taking this class, my writing class. And so he liked the idea, which was basically a poster on the wall. That was my concept. He's like, what is that? Because he was looking on me on Zoom because we're at COVID, so nobody get in the same room. So he's looking at the wall and he's like, what's the shit show? So I kind of explained to him, I go, well, it's just kind of like a high concept. Like I always make a poster when I think of an idea first. Why? I don't know. That's just my process. So that way I can look at it every day and go, what is the shit show about? You know what I mean? So that's kind of my process because I'm a very visual person. Writing, like I said, like I'm people are always they're always commenting on my punctuation but I think I'm a creative person, so I guess I just have to hire people to do that. I'm not really sure. But I think that for me, just making a poster makes people interested because it makes it real. I had nothing written down. It was just a poster. And this is a guy who's a producer who's produced a lot of stuff. And he's like, so what's the shit show back? And I'm like, well. And then they've kind of helped me piece it together. So it's coming along really well. But I know that the thing about podcasting, what's going on now, is that there's nothing on TV. Nobody's spending any money out here or in LA or really much in the United States except for the independent filmmaker because the insurance is so high. So no one can, insurance companies won't bond them, license them, and let the actors do what they need to do with the directors, because you do have to be in close proximity. So I think, and it costs a lot of money, because now the studio has to take the actors, COVID test them, put them under lockdown for 2 weeks. And that's crew and everybody. So they have to be away from their families. So these insurance companies are like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, the producer for Bliss Maybe, the last conversation we had, which was about 3 weeks ago, he said quadruple the cost for each episode.
Yep.
Which then causes the production companies in LA to kind of take a step back and go, we can't afford doing this right now.
Right, but the big thing now is, I've noticed, and I'm you know, I'm always looking at the trends, and I always look like Deadline Hollywood. And so what's happening is, for us producers to know, is podcasting, people are actually radio playing their scripts, because a producer, writer, director, a producer will probably want to listen to it because they're eating dinner or whatever, and they're sitting in a room and they're kind of working at the same time. But sometimes reading is just not it for them. So they go to these podcast channels. And it's becoming such a big thing that they're actually having podcast competitions for people's scripts.
Interesting.
So make sure you register whatever you're doing, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe podcast something. Maybe podcast something you guys just make up now. And I know a murder mystery is like a real big one, because they actually will buy that now. So if you write a little podcast of a murder mystery and submit it, that could be everybody's ticket to making it as a movie later, because you own it. You just...
Well, that's one thing I do. Every script that I've written, even the first draft, I copyright it. And then I'll copyright it after I've done a few rewrites.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, I always tell people when they come to me, and even if we're working on it, it's like, well, the first thing you need to do is, I always copyright my outline. Because I work with other people, and I don't always write everything I do. But I do outline the whole episodes, because I know, like I said, I may not be the best writer, but I know I had the idea. So everything's under me as creator. So then that way I can produce and write, and I get the writing in a lot faster that way if I'm not the only one doing it.
True.
Plus, you know, as a producer, you're always working on 4 or 5 projects.
Yeah.
I know I am. Doesn't mean they're all going to be seen, but I know I'm always constantly like, I got my toe in this one, I got my toe in this one. You know, and that's just my process, because you have to throw enough shit up against the wall and something may stick, we hope. Mm-hmm. So as a writer, what program do you use?
Well, I was using Fade In, and I was attaching a studio binder to that for production. I'm looking at switching now. Somebody had... I don't even know how to say it. Celtics?
I have Celtics. You know, that's what I use. And it's so funny, because I actually use the free version. I've used it for years.
Oh, okay.
With my first screenplay, I wrote it on that because it was free. And I got to use it on my laptop. But now it's not free anymore unless you do it on your phone. So people always give me a hard time, because I literally write everything on my cell phone.
Yeah, the last script I wrote, I put on Celtics just to...
Yeah. But you have to pay for it. It's like, what, $20 a month or something?
They're doing a special right now, 50% off.
So it's 10. Like 10. Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, Final Draft is usually the general one that everybody's using. But honestly, even with Fade In, as long as you can convert it into a PDF,
right,
which everything you can convert into a PDF now, if they want it in Final Draft, you can always pay for it for the month, stick it in there and slap it and send it to the...
Right. So, no, Fade In does... They do the PDF conversion, so.
Yeah. So does Celtics. Everything I send goes in PDF.
Yeah.
So I do it off my phone. But I'm usually writing while my husband watches TV or watches sports. So I'm literally like in the corner, like texting. I know, it's a weird thing. People always like, I always get burned for that. But it's like, that's my process. I write where I'm at.
Like, my daughter laughs at me because my phone technique is one finger.
Right. I'm still that way, too.
So to write a script on my phone, there's no way.
I think it's small. Like, I was doing an iPad before, but then my iPads got old. So I just literally I'm on my phone, and it's okay. And I can do rewrites on my phone while I'm on set, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're just kind of conforming to what's going on. So, what are you working on now? If you
So,
can talk about it.
well, no, in COVID for me is actually seeing I finished two full features.
That's amazing. See, it is a good, there's a good and bad to everything.
Yeah, and then I'm halfway through a third one. So,
Oh, okay, great.
for me, the first three things that I had that wrote was things that were familiar. I think started with Bliss Maybe, a Christmas movie, which was a romantic comedy.
Nice.
The kids movie, which was, you know, basically about our daughter. And then I had a friend who asked me to try my hand at a horror. So he had this idea, so I kind of ran with it, and it's basically a werewolf movie.
That's fun.
Yeah, and I wrote it in the vein of like American Werewolf in London, so it's
Love
I've
that.
you know
It's a little
got
comedic. I have a feeling that's kind of where your genre is, so it's like a horror comedy.
And then the last one, which I'm meeting with someone next week, is more of a supernatural. It's kind of the same thing. It's if you want to say Ghost meets The Grudge.
Oh, I like
So
that.
it's an interesting twist on the old supernatural horror, but I've also included a lot of to me, character developments. I've seen too many horror movies that
Have no d character.
no character,
Or the
there's
characters are just so out there.
no direction. So I
I've been to the producers conference a couple of years called Produce By, which I really think you guys should go
okay.
when it comes back up again. And if we go as a group, it's a lot cheaper. That's my. It's normally $1,100 ticket, and I can get it for $400 a person as long as we
Oh,
book
that sounds
early.
good. Yeah.
So, but the beautiful thing about the conference is that you always run into people. Like I took pitching from Mark Gordon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who does that? And then Seth Rogen and his team came up and they talked. And I they were like my first conference I went to. And I think what I loved about him is like he's just a regular guy. And his whole team was like they were just looking for someone to go make films with them. And these guys were famous. But they went and some guy submitted him his short film. He said the sound was terrible. The actors were horrible. There was nothing good about this film except for the story. So they hired him. Because he says, we know that you are either just learning your camera or just learning the sound. We get it. But it and all we really care about is the story good. Because if you can write a good story, you can learn all the other shit.
Right.
So you have to remember. So to me, that was very inspiring.
So that's funny because I have looked into like Danny McBride's production company because I think a lot of my comedy is after the vein of Seth Rogen, Vince Vaughn,
Right,
Danny
right,
McBride.
right, right. I don't really, it's funny because I know Vince Vaughn does a ton of comedy. I don't think he's funny at all. I think he's a really good, serious actor. Like, if you see him do something serious, then I get kind of swept away by him. But I don't know. I think his comedies are funny, but I don't think he's funny.
Well, I think he has to play
The straight
the
guy.
straight guy in the
Yeah, but he
comedy.
tries to play the, you can tell it's like a, he's trying to stretch, but it's just he just can't do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm in that vein. Like I think funny, but I don't know if I can be funny.
Well, after watching you and Donna,
But she was the funny
she
one.
was funny. You played the straight role in that
Right.
episode.
Yeah, but I still feel like so from now on I'm gonna definitely do rehearsals, not for her,
Yeah.
because forget that. But for me, because I was but maybe when you're editing yourself, it's a little different. And I know they say you shouldn't be in the thing that you wrote, but the only reason why I'm even in Mom Squad or even what got written was because I was in acting class with Tanya Petro, who plays my co-star. And she's in such a unique position because here's this gorgeous girl who can act, who's super smart, but she's Russian. And she's, I mean, I tease her that she's a Russian Miller bride, which she really isn't, but she is, she did marry an American guy. And we were in acting class, and I was like, it's kind of sad because she has an accent, not a, and she can't do an American accent yet because she's so young and she just hasn't tried. But right now, she can't really do an American accent. So, how do you take that talent and make it work for you? And of course, I think the first day at acting class, they had said to her, are you a spy? And so I just kind of ran with it, and I kind of wrote the scene, and then that's kind of where Mom Squad came in. So I wrote the scene for her and I to do in class, and then we filmed
Oh,
it.
hilarious.
Isn't that funny? So
Yeah.
and then we filmed it, and I grabbed Mike McKenna, who's also an actor in her class, and he had this camera that could do 4K, so he was wanting to try his camera out. So and then I kind of I but I had taken all the cinematography classes, so I was like, no, you need to do this angle, that angle, and I thought it turned out pretty good,
Oh, yeah,
considering it was just
I saw that episode.
crew of three. So that was pretty good. So then it's like, well, now we got to go somewhere with it, because I had a producer going, well, this is great. So I was like, okay, now what do I do? So that's kind of how it was born. So I think it's funny as a writer where it comes from. Like you were talking about your wife and your daughter, how they have these ideas. Right. So where do you find your people? Are they Hollywood people that you work with for producing, or are they people that your wife has known or you've met through your daughter, or how's that work?
Well, for I just I don't know. I guess I didn't want to just make a local film or a local comedy and then it not go anywhere. So to me, it was do a lot of research. Like I said, it wasn't just the writing, it was all the extras that come with it. So one thing led to another. Donna would send out feelers, and this person led us to this person who led us to this person who has connections at Netflix or. So that's kind of how we started meeting people, and
And it's funny how open those people are. You'd be really surprised, because they are always, it's kind of like acting. You know, when you go and you get an audition and you get face to face, they want you to be the one. So when you send your scripts out, you know, we always worry about our writing or punctuation. Like I get grounded for that all the time, but it's like, I can tell you right now, people like who did Django, and who's the big filmmaker? Quentin Tarantino. He literally didn't make it out of high school. Like he was working at Blockbuster, and he loved films. And so his punctuation's horrible, like, and his sentence structure's terrible. Like those are the people that inspire me, because I feel like I'm kind of in that category. But he'll watch a film and he can tell you everything that you should do or what should have been done to make it richer. And that's how he got his first offer. Was he was like, oh yeah, you should try this film, but you know, this. And of course, people who are filmmakers, they watch these films because, you know, they're in that industry and they love films. So then they go, you know, he's right. He's right. Well, you know, you got anything, you should write something. And then he wrote something, and that's how he did it. He's just a normal guy working at Blockbuster. And doesn't even exist anymore, but he exists. And everybody wants to work with him. Everybody. So I think that for us independent filmmakers, I think we just need to like what you're doing, writing your scripts and getting together. And you're lucky you have a team that lives with you. I mean, how lucky are you? You
True.
know, I'm kind of flailing out on my own. So that's a gift, how I see it.
Well, I think that's how Bliss Maybe got filmed, was because Donna had connect. She was in the industry locally and had done some short films, and so we started meeting actors and cinematographers and directors because I had no clue.
So now that you have your daughter out there, your wife out there on social media, not your daughter, sorry, your wife out there on social media, I think, I just know as a filmmaker that it's not always about, I know other people like to keep it private, but sometimes when you're new, just kind of remind them that you're there. Do you know what I mean? Because I think it's super important. Like everybody I talk to, they don't really do a ton of social media. I go, but if you let them know you're there, they're gonna come for you. They're gonna come for what do you got? What do you got next, Robert? What's going on, Robert? You know what I mean? And that's how it works. And it's part of the job. And unfortunately, it's part of the job, because we all don't like to say me, 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 me. But I think it's really not about that.
Yeah, that's one thing I need to learn because I rarely go on Facebook. I don't. If you ask me my Instagram page, I have no idea.
I am terrible at Instagram, but I have to get better, because just for you guys to know, that Instagram has a series button now. So you can do short films and movies on Instagram, and it's going to blow up like crazy, because TikTok's getting a really bad thing going on. So Instagram series are going to out, they're going to, well, they're owned by Facebook anyway, but they're literally the kids in their 20s and 30s are all using Instagram. So if you want to hit that audience, you have to have an Instagram series. And if you're an actor or you have a young actor in your household and she's writing things and she's doing something like you want to do a 2 or 3 minute clip, put her on an Instagram. Make her own Instagram series out of your house about her. And people will notice her because it's just getting started. So that would be a recommendation. And I just found out about this about 4 days ago. And I was like, boom.
Do you ever feel like, oh, another thing to learn, right?
Yes. But I think that technology is moving so fast that things that took 20 years now are taking like 6 months to a year. That's why you can afford to have a camera and make these series for, like, they're up to 12K. Okay, I don't know who's going to need that. But literally, they're filming in 12K. What is that? I don't even know why you need that.
Well, if we ever get back to going to theaters, movie theaters are still 2.5, aren't they? As far as I know.
Yeah, and the only reason why you do 4K is because you want four times the amount of space as the editor to edit it. So you want 12 times the space, which means you've got to have... Do you remember the old computers? I remember I used to work at Kodak Labs, and we used to have this whole room bigger than your house. And I would have to go in there and change the computer tapes. We're going to need computers like that to house 12K.
Yeah.
Think about it. I can't even get my little computer to 4K. I have to take it down to like 10%.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem I'm having right now is when I shoot in B-Raw.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you ever take it down to 25%? What program are you using?
DaVinci.
Oh, that's what I'm using too. Yeah, you can actually take it down to 25%.
Oh,
so, so because it'll run slow as you're going. No, so basically what you can do is you have to go and you have to do a tutorial. I love YouTube. Do a tutorial on DaVinci Resolve and then ask how to make my 4K footage work. How do I edit in 25%? Because you can edit it in 25% and then export it as 4K.
I didn't know that. So thank you.
See, see, I stole your SD card, but I learned, but I taught you something. So this is all worked out. So is there any websites for Bliss? Is there any way anybody can find anything you've done yet?
Bliss, we were told not to post anything, which is frustrating for the actors because
they want to post.
Oh, there's a ton of them and have amazing reels. Most of them are hilarious.
Yeah, but they don't have to put on what it is. They can just have that clip.
Right.
They don't have to say it's from.
Yeah,
because
true.
The only one's going to see it is the casting agent and their agent. That's all that's going to see it, or if they post it online. But it's never going to say Bliss, maybe. It's going to say Brenda Daly's reel. Think about that.
Yeah. Well, that's I did have a couple requests, so we did send the footage out to an editor who's going to try and clip everything for the main actress.
Yeah, because the industry won't know. They won't care, really.
Well, I know people want us to, we were on the Fox show Christmas, just mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So they did see some of the clips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, but yeah. Now, that's the only thing we posted on Facebook. The other things, we had set up an audition for A Chain Reaction, which we were starting to cast just before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The two movies... the supernatural one.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't posted anything yet. I was just telling you, writing a business plan and
mm-hmm.
Creating a poster.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to talk about business plans next time I come over. Just you and I, 'cause I really need to learn that part of it. I mean, I'm really good about getting people together and finding talent and getting them motivated to meet up.
Well, one of the biggest things I've learned was producers. They're saying, what are you looking for? And if you hem and haw, well, I need 100,000. Or if you don't have a specific number in mind,
mm-hmm.
first of all, the first business plan I did, I didn't even put a number in.
Okay.
Which he was looking at me going, what are you asking for? You're showing me your project, but what are you asking for?
Right.
So put the number in, and then you have to stick to that number.
What's the smallest number you've ever put in?
75,000.
And what's your largest number you've ever put in?
A million.
A million?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think people need $1 million to make a independent film? Unless they have like CGC going on?
No, the one of the producers in LA says, that's kind of why I tackled the horror genre.
Uh-huh.
they're looking for, I mean, if you get $1 million budget,
Of course, you can do anything.
but they're
And you
saying
don't
you
tell anybody you got that money. You just
no.
you just put that aside. You don't tell anybody about how much you got because that's up to you to spend it.
I know one of the producers said to me there was a low budget 75,000 quality horror film, and you get one name actor, and that's really all you need with horror genre.
And you could get them for really cheap if you pay
Yeah.
for their hotel room. I know that a lot of these B-list actors will work for not a whole lot because you're getting their name out there, as long as they like the script. If they're smart,
Yeah.
because they always say you're always judged by the last four films you did. So if you do four crappy films, you're probably on the downward, and you're not going to get a lot of money. But I think it's good to get an A-list actor. I don't think horror you need one,
Well, you
honestly.
don't need an A-list, but
You don't need it. You don't even need to know, and you don't even need a
yeah,
name actor. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, I know Nicolas Cage is doing all kinds of films, and I have to tell you, some of them are not that good. But I don't know what it is about Nicolas Cage. I don't know if I've just always had like an actor crush on him or something, but I will watch anything he puts out. I don't care how bad, what the quality is. He's just that actor for me. It's funny that I say that, but it's true. Like Mel Gibson, I think I watched a movie he did, but not very good, recently, and it was like, but I will, if he comes out with another, I'll go watch it. Just because, oh, it has Mel Gibson. Okay, click.
Well, I think, like for me, the supernatural one, it's about, five college kids. So I think I would want to look for one 21, 22-year-old that has a big social presence. So
My, are you on IMDb?
I am on IMDb
So,
now. I haven't put a picture on.
okay, but you're Robert Krauss.
Yeah.
Okay, on IMDb, and do you have like a website or anything for Bliss or anything?
No, actually, I haven't done anything. No.
You sound like me.
Facebook, you can find Bliss maybe on
Okay, well,
Facebook,
that's good. See, that's what your listeners want to know. So we're looking forward to your supernatural thriller and your bullying movie. I think that one to me is kind of, I think it's really sellable.
It is sellable, but again, when we wrote it, and that's the other thing I've learned over the last couple of years is the amount of cast you have to use. I think when you looked at a chain reaction, there's like 4 days of school scenes to be filmed,
It's hard to get in the schools too, especially
which,
about bullying, because then they have to take responsibility for
yeah. So now you're talking about 4 full days of multiple kids walking hallways in the playground, which has now bumped the cost off with one thing I've learned.
All right. So this has been really fun, Robert,
Yeah.
and it's been fun interviewing your entire family. You guys are all very, very talented. I can't wait to see what you guys will be doing in the future. I'm sure I'll be back talking to you and borrowing more of your stuff.
Okay.
So this is Real Women celebrating women in independent filmmaking, and I know Robert celebrates his women in independent filmmaking, and we will talk to you later.